time as followers of Christ, we have to ask ourselves important soul cleansing questions. We all have to, because we all get used to living in a certain way. We all get comfortable. You know, we all get hurt in life. Anybody been hurt this week or last week or this month? Raise your hand. Okay. We all get hurt. We all get tired because we feel like we're hitting up to roadblocks and walls and those kinds of things. And so invariably, we have to ask ourselves some questions, because you know what happens in our spiritual experience and bodies, our inner man, as well like our physical person, when we take an injury and we get an injury, our brain goes to protect ourselves. And you know what our brain will actually do? It'll shut off certain nerves and certain functions. That's why older people, when we get injuries and we don't rehabilitate them, we lose our functionality. So I can do this, right? And I have a good day. That's why I can do that, you know, and be halfway happy with it. Or I could pick up something off the ground, which most of the time I go, oh, well, it's on the ground now. I ain't getting it, right? But, you know, I'm able today to pick things off the ground, right? Because our minds will shut it off, but we have to turn those things back on. And with our minds and with our voices, we have to say, you need to work again. And that means we've got to stretch it again, and we've got to get in shape again, and we've got to heal it and rehabilitate it. If we don't, we just keep moving toward greater, lesser, and lesser mobility. You get me? We end up becoming paralyzed, and we're unable to do anything. And Jody will see me sometimes, I'm like, you know, because it will happen, but that's just what happens. But I'm working at it, so I'm going to get more mobility. And you've got to work at it, but we experience this spiritually as well. We do. You take some hurts, and then what you begin to do is you focus on those hurts. You focus on those things that aren't right in relationships with others. You focus on the frailty of other people, and you begin to shut down, and you turn certain things off. And guess what you quit doing? You quit following Jesus. Somebody better say amen to that. That's what you actually quit doing. You start looking like you used to look before you knew Jesus. You start acting like you used to act before you knew Jesus. You just shut off certain things. And if you're not careful, you become comfortable with it and comfortable going that direction. That's what this song was saying. Lord, give me this passion, this one consuming, that I'd know you and follow you. Because a follower is doing what? They're following. If I got started moving and I said, okay, come on, follow me, you'd have to get in line behind me and start following me. And if you didn't follow me, you weren't following me, right? It's as simple as that. I've been a leader all my life. I've been on teams all my life. Oh, look at these amazing people. They're all sinners. Saved by grace, hopefully, and will be one day saved by grace. But Jesus cares about sinners. And he cares about you and me who are his children. And from time to time, we've got to do these soul cleansing questions and talk about these things, because we've been called to be followers of Jesus. So I want to ask you a few questions today, because these are questions that are on Jesus' heart and on the hearts of followers of Jesus. Am I a friend of sinners? Am I a friend of sinners? Do I spend time with persons who do not know Jesus, whose lives may be offensive to me, and whose reputation among good people could be scandalous? Do I have friendships with people like that? Do I love sinners? That means, am I committed to their lifelong, to their well-being, even though they might act like a horse's behind? Am I committed to loving them? Am I a friend of sinners? Man, do I reach out to them? Do I serve them? Do I serve them? And at times, do I call them forward to follow Christ and to serve Christ with me? am I, are you like Jesus? Because you're hanging out with Jesus and you're following Jesus. Or are we going backwards, away from that? Are we followers? One of the reasons Jesus really amazes me, and we've been talking through this greater theme for a bit now, is that he, think about that, God in the flesh, the creator of all, hung out and ate and rubbed shoulders and called into service sinners. People who were addicted to sin. People who weren't good, just like you and me. And yet God came and hung out with us to reach us. That amazes me that God would do that. It amazes me that he would reveal himself like that and let us know his name, let us be by him and with him, and even respond to him. If you got a Bible, I want you to read our next passage today with me. It's found in Mark 2, verses 13 through 17. And I want you to watch how Jesus did this. I want you to discover why and how he looked for sinners and went after reaching sinners. I want you to read it with me, starting in verse 13. It says, once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, right? Because he had to stay out by the lake and that kind of stuff, because this guy with leprosy had a big mouth, right? And he told him not to. Remember, that was earlier in this. And so now it says that a large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. And as he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus. We know that this Levi was otherwise known as Matthew. He wrote the Gospel of Matthew. He became a disciple of Jesus. So this Levi, son of Alphaeus, was sitting at the tax collector's booth, doing his job. He was a tax collector. He was in the midst of a business day, like you and I are often. And Jesus said, follow me, Jesus told him. Jesus didn't say, do you want to follow me? Would you like to follow me? He just looked at him and said, follow me. What would Levi do? What would you do? Well, it says, this is what Levi did. It says he got up and he followed him. Got up, left his job, left his career, and went and followed Jesus. While Jesus was having dinner then at Levi's house, Jesus knew something a little bit about Levi, and guess what Levi did? He threw a dinner party for Jesus and a bunch of his friends. It says, many tax collectors and sinners came and were eating with him, with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed Jesus. So Jesus was attracting sinners. He was attracting tax collectors, prostitutes, people from the street. He was also attracting people from the synagogue and the temple and teachers of the law. And so it says that when the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? They would have never done that. They would have never been seen in their company. They would have never accepted their fellowship. They were sinners. You don't do that. You taint yourself. You pollute yourself if you do. And on hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous. I've come to call sinners. I've come to call sinners. How do you recruit the people Jesus is tapping for salvation or discipleship? How do you recruit these people? Well, first, you realize that Jesus is looking for sinners. That's the first point in our outline. That's what you realize. He's looking for sinners to help. He's looking for sinners to recruit. That's what he cares about. That's what he cares about. If you and I were to go out looking to recruit people to accept the gospel, and people to hear the gospel, or people to come to church, to turn from their life of sin, to join us in ministry and in service and discipleship, where would you go? And where would you look to recruit them? Honestly, where would you go and where would you look to recruit them? You know, my older brother, and some know this, was a part of a notorious biker gang that if I said it, you'd know it well. And he was recruited. Guess where he was recruited? In prison. That's where biker gangs go to recruit their sinners and their gangbangers. Or there are other places to go too, but that's one of the main places they go. And that's where my brother was recruited. He was, because prison tends to be a pretty good pool to fish from for violent sinners, right? And people who could be a part of a lifestyle like that. And so that's where they went. But you know what? Jesus have a habit of it going to the same place. Jesus? Lord Almighty? Maker of heaven and earth? He would go to a prison? Well, yeah. He recruited Levi or Matthew. He recruited him. He was at the tax collector's booth. It was considered equally nefarious, despicable, and immoral as a prison was. In that day, Jesus chose Levi, a man who collected taxes. That was his profession. Tax collectors were seen as traitors because they worked with the Roman government. Tax collectors were seen as extortionists because they would put an exorbitant fee on top of the taxes they collected. So they were wealthy when the common people and most of the people were poor. They were considered and put in the category of their society in their day as the prostitutes. They call them prostitutes and tax collectors and sinners. That was their station in life. So apparently Jesus goes to the same places. He goes to the places of prostitutes and sinners in the community. He chose a man to help him in his ministry and mission who was in that category. How scandalous is that? Think about that. Think about if we were to do that today. Huh? Think about that. But we are to do that today. Do you find yourself too quickly counting people out in your life, thinking that they're too much of a sinner to have a potential to become a follower of Jesus or a leader in the church? I'm here to tell you, there was a time in my life where I was told to my face more than once that I was the most belligerent person they ever met and that I should really be severely punished for how I acted or talked. I was told I should be put to death, and they would have in the Old Testament. Little did they know I wasn't finished yet, and God wasn't finished in my life yet. Just like you, He loves you, He sees you, He knows what you are and what you're not, and He loves you, and He has plans for you. And He's calling you into relationship with Him, to follow Him, to be a servant, to be His partner, to be with Him. Wow. Do you find yourself quickly counting out people, not realizing that maybe Jesus is looking for these sinners to recruit? Do you love the lost? Do you see the lost as an opportunity to reach? I hope you do, because the Lord is moving, and He wants us to be out there moving with Him. He was a walking out in community, and He was looking, and He was doing some things, and this is what He was doing for our second point. He was prayerfully interacting with culture. He was prayerfully interacting with culture, with his family that he was around, with his friends that he was around, when he was on the job, while he was at school, while he was in, you know, wherever, and in the synagogue, he was always prayerfully interacting. Verse 14 says, as he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. And you know the Spirit spoke to him, call him. And he did. See, the scriptures, they teach us something. And I know that some are beginning to think about that. They go, aren't we supposed to be separated from the world? Well, yeah, there is that part of it too. The scriptures do teach the principle of separation. 1 Corinthians 15:33 reminds us, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good morals or good character. So we used to say, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. That is true. The people you hang to, the people you let speak into your life, the people that you look to and you let influence you, they are going to guide and direct where you have ultimately hit the target you hit. So show me your friends, I'll show you your future. There is some truth to that. And bad company corrupts good morals or good character. Proverbs 13:20 states, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. It doesn't just say sit with the wise. It doesn't just say be around the wise. It says walk with the wise. That means pattern your life after them. Stay in step with them, and you'll become wise. See, I think sometimes we think, well, if I just kind of show up and I'm around, I'll be okay. No, you won't. Give me one ambition to follow hard after you. You got to follow. You got to do the things the wise do. You've got to be influenced by them instead of influenced by the bad company around you. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18 tells us this, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. It's telling Christians, you know, if you're a believer and you're following hard after God, don't marry somebody who's not. If you're a believer and following hard after God, don't become ensconced in a partnership with somebody in business who isn't, because you're going two different ways. You're going to pull apart. You're not pulling together. Don't be unequally yoked. It's simple. Because you can't ride two horses with one rear. Can you? No, you can't go two directions at once. So separation is there, but here's the deal. And this is important to put in your notes. Separation does not mean isolation. Okay? Separation does not mean isolation. Otherwise, we'd have to leave the world, wouldn't we? In John 17, 14 through 18, Jesus said, we are to be in the world, but not of the world. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. As followers of Jesus, we no longer love what the world, ruled by the evil one, loves. We don't. We've switched our loves. We no longer value what the world values. We no longer engage in sinful activities that the world promotes. We're no longer under Satan's rule, who rules the world. We're set apart from these things because you and I are now following Christ, and we're no longer conforming ourselves or our lives or our minds to the world. We're conforming it to Jesus. Amen? Because that's where we're walking. That's who we're following. And we sometimes have to sit back and go and tell ourselves again, yeah, give ourselves some clarity to this because we're not clear about it. Sure, you and I are to enjoy the world. We're to enjoy special moments and times in life. We're to enjoy the beauty of creation. Man, I enjoy that as much as anyone. We are to enjoy that. Yet living for pleasure, living for selfish desires, is no longer the focus of our life as it once was. Hear me in that. Living for pleasure and living for these selfish desires, the things I want, that's not the focus of my life. What is the focus of my life? It's now worship God. It's the worship of God. He's my love. He's the one I focus on. He's the one I follow. So he lifts me up. He lifts me up. So it's always important to stand, and this is such an important point, stand and remain in the truth of 1 John 4:4. Greater is he who is in you than he that's in the world. Hear that again, 1 John 4:4. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Jesus and his disciples were able to and willing to eat with sinners because they understood these things. They were willing. They weren't going to get touched and something bad was going to happen. No. The pattern is this. Jesus and his disciples are to affect the world instead of being infected by it. That's another good point to put down. Jesus and his disciples are change agents that are to affect the world instead of being infected by it. If you're a minister of light, light overcomes darkness. Darkness does not overcome light, right? So light infects the dark world rather than the dark world affecting the light. To do that, you have to prayerfully interact with your culture and the people in it to powerfully influence it for Christ and his glory. And that one little practical step is something we don't often do, and that's the problem. We do not prayerfully interact. We just interact. We haven't learned that yet. We are to prayerfully interact and understand where we stand in Christ so that we influence for the glory of Christ. How many people here have ever been in the ocean? Come on, ocean people. You know, you've been in rivers. I grew up around rivers and oceans too. There are great currents, aren't there? You know? And if you don't understand being in the ocean, what it's like, you get in it, and there are all sorts of different types of currents, right? We hear about rip currents that tend to be smaller currents that come in and take you out, and they're a channel, right? And you don't want to get into one of those because they'll take you out, might even take you out a mile or so out into the ocean. Most people don't want to swim that far. But if you swim parallel to it or perpendicular to it, you can get out of it and come back as long as you stay chill and you're cool. But a lot of times people panic. But if you're in the ocean, most of the time what will happen is there's a cross current, the waves are coming in, but the current is pushing you and you don't even realize it. And so all of a sudden you'll look back and you're looking for your stuff on the beach and you can't find it. You go, who are those people? It should be right behind me. And then you look way up there and you go, oh, that's my stuff. How did I get down the beach so far, right? You go, how did I get down here so far? Well, it's because the current, which is strong, was moving you. And you weren't paying attention to it. But if you pay attention to it and realize that that current's going to do that, you just adjust. And you can stay right where you need to be. No problem. No problem, just because you have become more mature and aware and understand this current wants to push me down the beach, but I want to stay here with my stuff where I'm supposed to be. You can be successful, but you got to understand it. And that means that we're aware and we're prayerfully aware of what the currents are in our lives, the things that are pushing us. The world is trying to conform us and push us into its mold. We had to say no to that. Didn't Paul say that? No longer be conformed by the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? The world is constantly trying to do that to us in the evil one. But we have, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, we can stand our ground. We can stay where we're supposed to be. Now, the thing is, though, you've got waves coming in. And I don't know how good you are with waves. We used to love to go out there when we were younger. I mean, I would never get out of the ocean until I totally had to get out and eat, okay? I was so enthralled by it, I loved it when I was younger. And we'd get out there and we'd find the biggest waves and then let them crash on us, right? Because when you get away and your swim trunk is down around your ankles and you don't know which way is up and you're standing up and you're like going, what happened, that was so cool! That was so cool because we got tumbled and bang until you bang into the floor real good, and then it wakes you up and go, oh, it's not so cool, right? But it's a great time. But let me tell you something. With a little practice, you can learn how to catch those waves. Come on. If you've never surfed or never body surfed and caught waves, you've missed something big. It is the most fun, exhilarating thing in the world to be on it and hanging on that baby and just woo! And it's taking you and you're up there and you are having the greatest time in the world. And you can easily learn how to do it so that you begin to overcome these currents. You begin to overcome these waves. If you don't learn how to overcome them, just the few little tips of wisdom, Then you get crushed by them. And you get afraid, and they can drag you down, or they can take you out. But if you learn about them, you can function with them, and you begin to overcome them. They don't overcome you anymore. Let me tell you, that's what Jesus was trying to teach. He says, prayerfully interact with your culture. You're to be an influencer. Let the power of God lead you. And what will happen? The power of God will lead you. To be sure, we are to run from evil and not put ourselves in situations that are over our head or beyond our ability or our maturity level to handle. That is for sure. We have to use wisdom in that. And so I'm not suggesting we can just go out there cavalierly now and meet the world and be okay. Rather, we have to actively and prayerfully discern what God is doing and how he wants to use us as change agents in the world. Ask him. Don't be led by fear. Don't go, oh man, I can't do that. Oh man, I can't be a part of that, or my family can't be a part of that, or we can't do that. Don't do that. Be moved by faith. What is God doing, and what does he want you to do in your family, at your work, at your school, on your team? Ask him how he wants to use you and your family to promote the light, push back the darkness, influence the culture around you, call people, right? Here the Holy Spirit alerted Jesus. He alerted him and he said, command Levi to follow you and become your disciple. I've been working in his heart and his life. And when Jesus acted in faith and said, hey, come, follow me, he followed. He responded. He moved. Think about that. He changed his whole life just in an instant, because God had been moving and working, and Jesus was a part of that. And again, Jesus is looking for sinners. I can still remember, it didn't take long for me to accept Christ once I was ready. And thank God for the people who stood in the gap for me once I was ready. And then I followed, and my life changed. Right? Because Jesus is looking for sinners. He says again in Luke 19, he says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And I came not, like in our passage, he says, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners here. People who are sick with sin. That's his purpose. His purpose is to seek and to save the lost. That's good news this morning. Because if you feel burdened by sin this morning, if you feel lost under guilt and condemnation, he is the great physician, and he's ready to take you and to heal you if you're ready to repent. Just say, I want to repent. I give you these things. I want to follow you now and quit following me in my life. He'll receive you and you can follow. But how prayerfully are you and I interacting with culture, the culture that's around us? How are you taking Holy Spirit-directed steps of faith to do this third point? Think about it. To engage and partner with Catalyst. To engage and partner with Catalyst. How are you doing that? I want you to know that Levi Matthew, or otherwise Matthew, he shows us this great approach for meeting people where they are and giving them an opportunity with Jesus and to decide for themselves. And what did Matthew or Levi do? He invited everybody to his home for a meal, and then he provided this opportunity for them to hear from Jesus. That's what he did. Simple as that. Come for a meal, and then hear from Jesus. Inviting family and friends to your home to share a meal, it's how Jesus worked, and letting them know how Jesus has worked in your life, to hear how God may be working and want to work in their life, or to even come for a Bible study. It's a great way to share the gospel. Inviting people, inviting them to church, and then taking them out to lunch afterwards is a great way. But as we do these things, and here's the thing we sometimes feel skittish about, we've got to be open and honest about what we're doing. I'm inviting you to my home and let them know up front. Because I want you to hear what God's doing in my life. And I want to share it with you because I care about you. You don't have to do anything with it. I just want you to know. And if it resonates with you, great. If it doesn't, then okay. I just want you to know. People are looking. They're watching. They just don't want it shoved down their throats. Nobody likes that. I was invited and have been, as a pastor, invited to a lot of things. Lunches, dinners, things in people's homes. And it was all because of con. They wanted me to sell telephone cards at one point. They wanted me to sell air purifying systems at another point. They wanted me to sell vitamins that were supposed to be the answer to the world, right? All these different things, and the reason they were inviting me there, which they didn't tell me up front, was to get me involved in their business. Well, you know how that goes over with me? Like a lead balloon, you know? And then you feel like that guy who goes and takes the cheap weekend at Branson to hear the pitch for what are those things again? Timeshare. Yeah, the timeshare thing, have you ever done that? Oh man, that's classic. We did that because we were stupid way back when. And so there we are, and we finally said no, no, no. And then they finally realized it's no. Well, they were ringing the bell for everybody who said yes, and they were celebrating. When it was no, it was like the walk of death. You walked out while everybody just stared at you in silence because you did not accept to go their way. We don't do that. And I'm not suggesting we do that. No one wants to be hustled or blindsided or conned. These tax collectors and sinners showed at Levi's home because they knew him. They had a relationship with him. They were intrigued by the opportunity he provided to get to know Jesus, to hear more about him. And they knew that Levi was just going to give him this, but he was going to let God do the rest. That's a good thing. I've had family members come to Christ because I didn't shove it down their throat. I've had other ones not come to Christ because they just haven't chosen to. It's their choice. I love them. They're still my family. Right? But it's a great way to approach our family, our friends, and our associates. So do you know that Jesus wants to do the same with you and me? He wants to today. I don't know when the last time it's been that you've invited anybody anywhere just to talk about your faith, but maybe it's time to do that. However God would lead you, whether it's a dinner, whether it's a lunch, whether it's coffee, whatever it is, and then to take the next step that he's leading you to take. Because the Lord wants us to partner with him and to engage and partner with other catalysts that are around us to reach the world. He wants us to do that. So you look at that and go, well, but does that really? Yeah, it works. I was in high school when we had the young life leaders come. They only had 6 to 8 people come into their group. And one of the 6 to 8 kids invited my friend and I. And we were like a dynamic duo together. And I was newly in the faith. He was charged in the faith. And they invited us. And I'm not tooting this, but I'm just saying. Within weeks, there were 100 and some kids that were coming to this thing. Because certain people look at me and you can reach. They trust you and you can reach them. They follow. And when they follow, people change. Some didn't change. But some did change, and it was awesome because of that. So who are you partnering with? What catalysts surround you to reach people for Jesus? And finally, number 4, and this is for all of us. I want you to consider whom Jesus called to follow him. He called some big, busy people, and that's what he often does to serve with him. And I want you to consider Simon and Andrew and James and John. In Mark 1, 16 through 20, they were active fishermen. They had full-time careers, and some of them had families. And Jesus called them to follow. They dropped all and followed him. Levi was a full-time tax collector. He was in the midst of a work day at his business. Jesus called. He said, I'll follow. Jesus just doesn't want people who are young or strong or in the prime of their life, and he doesn't want people who aren't working outside, you know, the home, or people that are older and have times on their hands. He's not just calling those people to work, because we sometimes go, well, yeah, they can serve because they got a lot of time. I don't. I'm busy. Well, guess what? Jesus calls busy people. We're all busy. And Jesus calls us. He does. He calls us. No, he calls the right people to serve, the people he wants to serve and do his will. And these people are often busy. And remember the old adage, if you want to get something done, ask a busy person to do it, right? Because busy people are doing things. It's not about us being busy or not. It really isn't. It's not about whether you're willing or not, but it is actually about that. It's about, are you willing to put aside your busyness on one hand, or your laziness or slothfulness on the other hand, to do God's will over your own will? That's really the crux. Are you willing to do God's will over your own will? It's not about busyness. It's not about availability. It's about simply, are you willing to do your will over your own? I'm here to tell you something. Not one person in this room tithes by giving a 10% of their income to God. None of them who do that started doing that when they could afford it. Somebody say amen to that. No one can afford it. No one can. But no one can't afford to do it either. You got to choose in faith to do it. And then you see the miraculous happen. And there, Jesus is calling us. And he's saying, give unto me. Give and it shall be given back to you. Give unto me the tithe. Be faithful. And see what I'm going to do in your life. He can add back to us. I'm here to tell you, church, some of us are balking and standing at the line way too long. And because of it, we are missing opportunities to serve and be a light for Jesus. I cannot overstate that. And yet it's in your ballpark to choose, to trust him, to see him, to hear him call you to do that. I'm here to tell you that no one who steps forward to serve, teach, or lead in the church, no one has had all that they need to do that without taking the step of faith to follow Jesus. You got to say yes to him, and then he will equip you to accomplish that ministry. But no one steps forward to do that, or has the wherewithal to do that before they choose in faith to do it. No one has found forgiveness for their sins, healing from the effects of their life. No one finds that before they choose in faith to bring their burden of sin to Jesus and repent of it. You don't get it without that step. See, we're to take that step. The Lord calls busy people, busy believers. And so I'm here to ask you, busy believers, what has he or is he asking you to do this morning? If you were open to ask him and just hear from him, what would he be asking you to do this morning? Serve someone? Give in some area that needs giving? Share your faith or what Jesus wants to do in someone else's life with them because they need to hear it from someone? What space does he want to make in your life so that you can do his will? So that you can be a blessing to other people and his blessing can go forward through you. What is it? What is it? He's calling busy people. He's calling you and me. And we can't allow ourselves just to put ourselves off the hook because, well, I've got other things to do. Well, I filled my calendar. I can't do that. Well, you can easily take it off your calendar. You just make the choice to do so. Right? I know, does that sound hard? Well, it's because I'm a firstborn, so. I sometimes knock around the younger ones and say, quit whining. Just do what you're supposed to be doing. Right? But I do it in kindness. So as we conclude this morning, when we look at this passage, boy, howdy, let me tell you something. Levi is now a full-blown disciple that's following Jesus. And he'll be following him all the way, writing the gospel and living his life for him and changing the world. And we're called to do the same. Jesus' interaction with this tax collector, it should serve to remind us that we're never too sinful to be saved by him. There's no one in your life too sinful to be saved. and you're not too sinful. And if you have a burden of sin this morning, you can bring it to Jesus honestly, but you must. We're never too busy either to serve Jesus. He's Lord. We follow him. We're to keep in step with him. Either that, or we just quit playing the game and tell yourself, I'm serving myself, or I'm serving religion, or I'm going to serve something else in life, money, my aspirations, whatever it might be. Jesus is Lord. And I've heard people say either he's Lord of all or he's not Lord at all, right? Because it's like you can't play a game. You can't be one foot in the world, one foot in Jesus. That does not work. And the Lord loves you. He cares about you. But he's asking you, follow me. That's all Jesus said, follow me. Levi knew what that meant. He dropped everything else and he followed him. We're in a consumer mentality society. We think we can get a little bit of everything and still do it all. You can't. You can't. We got to be willing to reach out to those who are lost too, don't we? Good prospects really are our family, our friends, and our coworkers. Jesus is reaching out for them. He wants to save them. So are you willing to let Jesus be your great physician? Are you willing to serve him no matter how busy that you may be? Are you willing to say yes to him? Are you willing to join him in seeking and saving the lost? Your life can change this morning. It can be totally different by simply making a choice in faith to follow him. That's it. And then do it every day. Lord, here I am. Continue to lead me and guide me and help me to follow you, and I'm choosing this day to follow you as Lord and Savior. Let's go. Prayerfully interact with your culture. Partner with the catalysts he brings into your lives. Look for sinners because he's looking for sinners. And then just keep doing what he wants you to do, even though the world wants to make you busy. Be busy about his business, not what the world gives you. You can stand against that current easily. It's doable, and you can hang 10 at the end of it on the board. You can do it. I want you to stand with me, and let's close in prayer. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, as we come this morning, we come as we are. We come as we are, and we come asking you, Lord Jesus, to do great work, to make us the influencers you desire us to be in a broken world, that you would make us the encouragement you desire us to be in the church that is your bride, that you are purifying. God, use us and work in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name, and help us, God, not to be fooled by the evil one and believe his lies that we're following you when we're actually really not following you. We're just doing what we think we need to do just to not feel guilty or to be right, but we're not following you and we're not experiencing power and we're not experiencing life transformation and we're getting creamed by the evil one and the darkness around us. God, change that. Change that. And may you get all the glory for that, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And we all said together, amen, amen, amen.